plans to evaluate more careful alignment issues and in order to get broader input from communities that will benefit from the Purple Line. I'm going to just make one point from the letter attached to my testimony from John D. Porcari of the University of Maryland, and that is from Prince George's County. One of the things that is most baffling here as we begin to look at a very tough segment east of Silver Spring is that the easier segment remains controversial. It has been proven that rail and trails can operate together, and we have a $10 million investment in the Georgetown branch right away. So we support the university supports the fact that the Georgetown branch remains to be used for this project.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ann Martin.
Good afternoon, Chairman Balazs and members of the Planning Board. For the record, my name is Ann Martin from the law firm of Linnows and Blocker. Bob Dalrymple and I represent KSI Services, Inc., an affiliate of Ripley Street, LLC, which is a developer of a residential development in the Ripley District of Silver Spring, which the Planning Board approved a project plan for in July of this year. On behalf of KSI, we would like to submit our comments for the Planning Board's recommendation to the MTA regarding the alternatives retained for detailed study for the Purple Line or the Bi-County Transitway. KSI supports the transit and trail connections the Purple Line will provide for the Silver Spring CBD. However, the Planning Board should be aware that the Wayne Avenue corridor alignment proposed in the staff memorandum will directly impact the Ripley project and the Ripley district. The staff memorandum does not directly address the community impacts of the proposed Wayne Avenue alignment, particularly for a surface route, to the Ripley project and for future commercial and residential developments envisioned for the Ripley districts. These impacts are critical for the Planning Board and in its recommendation to the MTA regarding the alternatives retained for detailed study for this portion of the Purple Line. As you recall, the Ripley project is located on the north side of Ripley Street within 800 feet of the metro station near the future transit center, provide residential units, ground floor, commercial uses, and significant on- and off-site public use spaces and amenities, including widening and enhancement of Ripley Street, improvements to the garage, streetscaping, almost a quarter-acre urban park, et cetera. KSI coordinated during the project plan review process extensively with DPWT, MTA, and Park and Planning regarding the alignment of Ripley Street and the future transitway trail. And KSI will proceed with the Ripley project as proposed and initiate the redevelopment of this area as envisioned in the master plan. We've just requested the Planning Board recognize that the Ripley project and associated improvements will be constructed and thus be affected with the proposed Wayne Avenue corridor alignment and your consideration of the alternatives retained for study. Further, we request that the Planning Board clarify whether a surface or underground route is proposed before adopting the staff memorandum and forwarding the recommendation. We understand that this alignment is only an alternative at this point in the process. However, we just request that the redevelopment of the Ripley District, specifically the Ripley project of KSI, be included as part of the community impacts that must be considered by the MTA. Thank you for
Thank you very much. For our staff, I have a question. Mr. Smedley mentioned the letter, which we do have in the file, from the president of the University of Maryland. It's a letter directed to the governor, actually, in which the university states its strong support for an inner Purple Line. I assume that the university is in a position to come up with some estimates of the number of students and faculty that would be likely to use the Purple Line. We may not have it today, but this project has a long way to go yet. As we continue to review this project, it would be helpful if the University of Maryland is in a position to support its letter of support with some data about how many students they think would use it.
We will be talking with our counterparts in Prince George's County about that. There's a parallel effort going on in Prince George's County.
Great. No, I don't see any other questions, so thank you very much. And we'll now go to the six people on the wait list. The first three are William Smith, Stan Doerr, and Rosaline Crawford.
Sorry.
Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chairman Berlage and members of the Commission. My name is William Smith, and I'm here representing citizens on Sligo Avenue who've come together to form an organization called Save Our Sligo Avenue. I have right here a list of the folks who came out at last minute's notice to talk about what's going on with the Purple Line. I'll be very brief. You've heard three other members of our organization, our group, speak to you about alternatives and some of the other things, other reasons to consider taking Sligo Avenue off the alternative retained for a detailed study. At looking at the staff memo, which we received on Monday, one of the most disturbing things I saw was a reference to to Sligo Avenue not being a community that's going to be affected greatly by the Purple Line. And I just wanted to reiterate the fact that we live in a very diverse, very dynamic, active community. You may or may not know that I'm a very, very strong pedestrian advocate and have been for a number of years. I know, Chairman Berlage, you've been out to my kids' school and been involved with some of the work to get sidewalks in the neighborhood. I've also been a longtime supporter of the Purple Line. But I can't support destroying a community. And right now the staff memo says that really the geology on Sligo Avenue is not something that's going to allow it to be tunneled through that portion. So we have to preserve this community. It's a long time part of Montgomery County, and it's a very active, vibrant community. And we strongly urge you to not consider Sligo Avenue after this point as a route for the Purple Line. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doerr.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Stan Doerr. I live in Callerton. Light rail trolley is the worst form of rail transportation available and should be abandoned. By definition, light rail is low capacity and takes a lot of surface space, which is not available for the routes under consideration. And heavy rail, like metro rail, is very expensive and slow to build. Therefore, a network of hybrid buses should be planned immediately rather than light rail or heavy rail for the Bethesda to College Park corridor. Buses provide the quickest and least cost and most flexible form of transportation for the corridor. This means that buses can accommodate both options, where light rail will serve only one. Furthermore, hybrid fuel electric buses like the 235 that Seattle, Washington is buying, and then four other jurisdictions are planning to buy. You can see the attachment on the back of my testimony. They get up to 60% more miles per gallon of fuel. New York City found this out years ago. Some hybrid buses have been seen on the streets of New York. Streets along the route under study can accommodate buses but cannot easily accommodate rail without going underground. Underground is very expensive. Moreover, University Boulevard can accommodate buses very easily without going underground. In short, buses can provide better access for more people than fixed guideway because many routes can be accommodated. The Transportation Policy Report study found that a connection between Langley Park and the I-270 corridor had the highest transit demand. Hybrid buses can accommodate the short-term solution and also can connect the Metro Red Line stations. Also, there are several high schools, business areas, residential areas, and the University of Maryland along this route. This should be a short-term solution. For the longer term, elevated monobeam rail should be built from the Montgomery County, Montgomery Mall, Rock Spring area along University Boulevard through the University of Maryland to the Metro Green Line station in College Park. Monobeam is high capacity like metro rail. low-speed monobeam can travel up to 70 miles per hour, whereas the high-speed version can travel more than 200 miles an hour. Maryland should be a leader in implementing this less expensive, less obtrusive, environmentally and people-friendly elevated rail technology.
Thank you. Rosalyn Crawford.
Good afternoon. My name is Rosalyn Crawford. I live on Mississippi Avenue in East Silver Spring, a few houses down from where Mississippi intersects with Sligo Avenue. I bought my home 6 years ago, and I live there with my two young children. I am one of those rare, lucky people who live and work in Silver Spring within walking distance of my home. My office is located near the Silver Spring Metro, making it easy for me to commute by mass transit to business meetings. My son attended East Silver Spring Elementary School within walking distance of our home. My daughter attends a special education school in D.C. She regularly uses Metro and walks home from the Silver Spring Metro station. We have expectantly and patiently awaited the construction of the new downtown Silver Spring. We now enjoy being able to walk to downtown Silver Spring to see a movie, shop, and dine at new restaurants. My children, alone or with me, can and do walk or bicycle to visit friends in the neighborhood, shop at small businesses on Sligo Avenue, go to the library, go to the movies, and take part in many other activities now offered in downtown Silver Spring. I am concerned that a light rail line running above ground on Sligo Avenue will impede pedestrian traffic. I am very concerned that walking from our home, located on the south side of Sligo Avenue, to the other side of Sligo Avenue, to get to school, to work, to downtown Silver Spring, or to the Silver Spring Metro Station will not be possible, will be less convenient, and or will be less safe. I am concerned that a light rail running above ground on Sligo Avenue will bisect this neighborhood community from the new downtown Silver Spring by restricting or limiting pedestrian and vehicular access to the community on the south side of Sligo Avenue. I am concerned about the environmental impact of a light rail line on Sligo Avenue. I am concerned about electric power lines, construction damage, vibration, damage to foundations and interiors of homes, and water runoff and drainage. As one neighbor mentioned soon after I moved in, Mississippi Avenue is named for the river, not the state. Furthermore, East Silver Spring and Sligo Avenue neighborhood has a pedestrian flavor that enhances the quality of our diverse neighborhoods and community and needs to be preserved. I have been unable to discern any benefit that a light rail line on Sligo Avenue would have to its residents. I have only heard about the negatives, tearing down small businesses and homes, including old homes in a historic district and affordable housing units, years of construction nuisance, increased noise, vibration, pollution, and inconvenience. Looking at the map, it looks like a light rail line on Sligo Avenue will lop off rather than include part of the local community that resides within walking distance of and supports the new downtown Silver Spring. I support mass transit. I don't need the purple line to get to the neighborhood elementary school, my office, downtown Silver Spring, or the Silver Spring Metro Station. I can walk. Don't make it so I need to drive.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this group?
No.
Thank you very much. The last group is Levent O'Leary, Sean Taylor, and Julie Bland.
Good afternoon, dear Montgomery County Planning Board members and staff. This morning I filed a petition for an urgent request to deny staff's recommendation to include Sligo Avenue as an alternative route for the Purple Line expeditiously and for a resolution at today's meeting. My name is Levent O'Leary and I live in a historic home which is almost 100 years old. I have been a citizen of the United States since 2002. As a citizen of Turkey and the United States, I have chosen Silver Spring and Sligo Avenue as my home. As a civil engineer with experience in environmental issues, I highly recommend that the board choose the Vane Avenue option because the Vane Avenue option imposes minimum environmental effects, is economically cheaper, doesn't distract homes, is close to the business district, doesn't divide the community of interest, improves the quality of life in Silver Spring, is not a main artery for emergency and police vehicles, serves more people, is already a four-lane road and makes it much easier to construct all of light lane, rail, and cars to utilize the same road. Vane Avenue is closer to the business. It is designed to serve, and more importantly, it will involve the destruction of zero homes. Over the half of Vane Avenue is already a four-lane road as opposed to Sligo Avenue. In addition to this, homes on Vane Avenue have much larger easements. Vane Avenue is a better choice than Sligo Avenue in that none of the homes on Vane Avenue will be destroyed. At worst, negligible portion of the front yards might be taken. This is a far less destructive than the total demolition of main historic homes on Sligo Avenue. In September of 2001, the General Accounting Office published a report to congressional requesters. The GAO consulted many transportation agencies in the nation to conduct a feasibility study. The report concluded that the bus transit shows promise. As an affected citizen of Maryland County living on Sligo Avenue, I request that the board deny staff's recommendation to include Sligo Avenue as an option and choose Vane Avenue as the only viable alternative. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. My name is Julie Taylor Bland, and I've been living in the county for about two decades on Sligo Avenue. Over those two decades, I've been through the ups and downs of Silver Spring, and I'm finally feeling very good about Silver Spring with the revitalization. So myself and my family, my husband Ernest Bland, and we have two children, are very happy in Silver Spring. We also feel that we played a role in helping with that revitalization. We stuck in there. We went to City Place when that's all there was to put money into the county, hoping that this day would come when it was revitalized. If Sligo Avenue is used as a path for the Purple Line, our house, our home, would likely be obliterated. We just learned about this, that the vote was going to take place today by a distraught neighbor who was walking around with flyers on Sunday night. So I, too, am part of the Save Our Silver Spring group. So I sit here today in large part, you know, in disbelief that there's a possibility of a light rail running down the middle of the street, and also with the thought that if it does run down the middle of the street, I won't be there because I won't have a home, and my husband and I won't have a business on Sligo Avenue. In my opinion, Montgomery County did not perform with due diligence their duty to notify or inform the Sligo Avenue residents, businesses, or affected communities of its impending vote on this project. I will say, however, that based on the MNC PPC staff report recommendations and the attached letters thereto, it is clear that notification and information was conveyed to those who sent letters and emails of overwhelming support for this project. On its face, the report and the letters are biased and pave the way for the project to move forward. So I feel I must ask, where were the letters from the immediate community in that report? You know, surely we are educated enough, involved enough, savvy enough, and care enough about our homes, businesses, and communities to have pulled together to be able to prepare responses not in a rushed manner, which is what we all seem to be scrambling to do. We have a wonderfully diverse neighborhood with many children whose safety, I feel, would be threatened with the onslaught of a light rail system on Sligo Avenue. This project would inevitably take years to complete and would disrupt and adversely change forever the lives and futures of many of us in this room. I respectfully request that you remove for current or future consideration Sligo Avenue as an option for the Purple Line or bus transit system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me just put the last speaker, and I suspect
some other members of the audience at ease on one point. We are a long way from making any final decision about this project. The vote today is a vote on comments, merely comments, that we'll be transmitting to the state Mass Transit Administration as they continue to study a number of alternatives for the Purple Line. So in terms of notice, I think the staff went through the community meetings that have been held, which are part of the notice process. What we're doing today is part of the notice process. We have gotten lots of input. This is the stack of letters we got just for today's hearing. This is just the beginning of the process, not the end. And all the comments that you've made today will be given serious consideration before either the state or the planning board makes any final decision about exactly what route and what mode we want this project to be. I certainly understand your concern, and that's why we're holding this public hearing, so that we can have a chance to hear from you. That concludes the public testimony. At this point, I'd like to ask Mike Madden and any other team members of his team to come up front, representing the Maryland Transit Administration, who is the lead agency on this study, and give you a chance to make any comments or reactions you'd like to make before the board starts to talk about whether we're going to support the recommended comments that our staff has provided or whether we're going to make some changes to those. Mr. Madden.
May I ask him to do this as part of his presentation also to supplement what the chair has said already? You might just want to take a half minute for a one-on-one course in terms of what the process, the arts process, is all about, so that people understand the relationship of where we are and what's ahead.
Certainly. My name is Mike Madden with the Maryland Transit Administration, and I am the state's project manager for the Bi-County Transitway, which was formerly known as the Purple Line. In terms of the process, we have continued to evaluate, refine, and screen out alternative alignments, segments of alignments. We have worked very closely with Park and Plan and staff. We've worked with Montgomery County Government, Prince George's County, the towns of New Carrollton and Tacoma Park, College Park, University of Maryland. That's that continuing dialogue and sharing of information continues throughout our process. And right now we are getting ready to have public meetings. These public meetings will be starting November the 8th. The first public meeting will be held in Langley Park at the Community Center. We also will have a public meeting. The same information will be available at Bethesda, Silver Spring, College Park, and New Carrollton. These meetings are intended for us to present what we are proposing to take into detailed study. This is known as the definition of alternatives phase. We then, again, we present those alternatives that we're going to study in detail. And then our process continues for approximately 18 months until the spring of 2006, where we continue to evaluate alternatives, bus and light rail alternatives along different alignments. And then in the spring of 2006 is when we would have a public hearing and followed up by the by decision in terms of the preferred alternative. So I would reiterate what the planning board has said in terms of this is a long process, and this is just beginning. We will have public meetings throughout the process. We plan them in November. Those kind of public meetings, community organization meetings, those will continue throughout the process, even before the public hearing. So hopefully that clarifies that issue. In terms of where we are in the project, we've completed what is known as the purpose and need for the project, and I would like to emphasize that has focused a lot on the need for the project. It has focused a lot on areas that have been mentioned today in terms of Tacoma Park, Langley Park, East Silver Spring, whereby we have all already realized and noted that there are a lot of transit-dependent residents. There is a higher percentage of households with no cars in those areas, and that's an important benefit of the project. It's a major reason for the need of the project. We have also continued to put a lot of focus on the alignment along the CSX corridor. As been mentioned already, there are concerns in terms of using the CSX right-of-way. So we have looked at a number of options, and we have looked at those options along with the Montgomery County staff. And we also have focused on the Silver Spring Transit Center. How does the Bi-County Transitway get into the center? How does it get out of the center? And what are the most convenient locations for that to occur? We've also evaluated the alternatives that have been presented today in terms of Wayne Avenue and Sligo Avenue. And we concur with the staff's finding in terms of the fact that the Wayne Avenue is a larger right-of-way. Sligo Avenue is obviously more constrained. We feel that right now the potential impacts to residences would most likely be greater, but it is still an alternative that we are evaluating, and we need to compare that to Wayne Avenue and any other alternatives. And that process, again, will continue over the next 18 months. We've also coordinated with the University of Maryland to look at alignments going through the campus, and then beyond that through College Park and New Carrollton. Again, our public meetings will be started in November. In addition, we have already, as part of those meetings, we will propose to delete some alternatives, and one of those alternatives is East-West Highway in the Bethesda to Silver Spring area. The portion that went through Tacoma Park was already deleted from consideration. Also, the alignments that used Colesville Road going north and then cutting east, those alignments we are proposing to delete from study. Part of our study also evaluates a no-build alternative and what is called a TSM alternative. The TSM alternative is an alternative that would look at improvements to the existing bus services. A number of people had mentioned, why don't we look at that? That is part of our evaluation. What benefits and costs are associated with that, and how do those benefits and costs compared to some of the build alternatives. How do they compare? That's all part of our process. In terms of what the staff recommends, we concur completely. Those alternatives that they've recommended for to be retained for detailed study are part of the alternatives that we will continue to evaluate as part of our process.
Could I just get clarification on that, because you said that very carefully, that all the alternatives that our staff wants you to continue to study, you will continue to study. I understand there are also some alternatives involving the portion between Bethesda and Silver Spring that we don't want you to study, that you intend to continue studying. And I do think that the discussion, obviously everyone... Commissioners are free to bring up any issues that they want today, but the reality is that in prior meetings, the Planning Board, and frankly more importantly, the County Council, to whom we answer, has made very clear their preference for using the Georgetown Branch right-of-way, which currently is the site for the Capitol Crescent Trail, as the preferred, and I would say frankly, the one and only route for the Purple Line between Bethesda and Silver Spring. I don't think the council or the planning board has reached a definitive conclusion yet on the mode. It might be light rail. Most of us probably prefer light rail, but we understand that bus rapid transit is a possibility as well, provided it is on the Georgetown branch. East of Silver Spring, the Wayne Avenue versus Sligo Avenue, and that's new information. It's exciting information, but it's new, and we certainly are all a long way from reaching decisions about that. But when it comes to the Jones, for example, the Jones Bridge Road alternative between Bethesda and Silver Spring, or the Capitol Beltway alternative, this board has previously taken a position on those, and I don't anticipate that position is going to change. So are you going to continue to study those alternatives as well, Jones Bridge and the Beltway?
We will continue to study Jones Bridge Road as a comparison to the master plan alignment. Again, not the Capitol Beltway, though. But again,
I wasn't sure about that. I'm glad to know.
Yes.
I mean, it's useful to know the answer.
We are following a federal planning and environmental process that mandates we evaluate a range of alternatives, and comparing one alternative to the other is part of the process, and we will continue to carry that process out.
Well, that's
Mr. Bryant.
That brings me to a related question. And my question is, in terms of the process that you go through, are you, as part of the process, required to have alternatives? Or can you, in fact, just make a determination that this is what we believe is the case, and we will study only this case? For example, hypothetically, we'll say Wayne Avenue. We're going to study Wayne Avenue because we believe that that's feasible, and we really don't need to have any comparisons, so therefore we won't look at Sligo. What does your process require you to do? And also, how did the alternative of Sligo come about in the first place as relates to making the connection?
Well, let me answer the last part of your question first. We evaluated a number of alignment options in addition to Wayne Avenue, and we felt that Sligo was worth evaluating and comparing to Wayne. One of the alternatives would be primarily at grade. We also are evaluating a tunnel option along that alignment. In terms of what we have to study, we could decide today that there's one preferred alignment as far as Wayne versus Sligo, but that's not necessarily what the federal government wants us to do. We need to evaluate different alternatives. We need to document that we have evaluated a range of alternatives, and so we have determined that that's worth looking at and evaluating and documenting all the reasons for or against it.
And so what you're asking us to do, in essence, this is what the staff report does, is to take decisions that have been made by the Transit Administration for us to give feedback based on decisions that you've made in terms of what needs to be studied?
I'm not sure I understood your question.
I think that Alex understood my question.
Yes. No, we made an independent determination. It was not based on necessarily what the MTA staff was pursuing. We did our own independent evaluation and determined that, yes, Wayne Avenue alignment has better characteristics than the Sligo.
Okay.
Has better potential. However, we feel that this ought to be flushed out some more. It needs more rigorous evaluation, and so they both should be carried forward to detailed study. However, the selection process of the preferred alignment occurs, as Mr. Madden has said, down the road. I think the selection is easier to make once that detailed study has been performed.
Okay. He did understand my question.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay.
Our position is the same.
Commissioner Perdue?
Clarification on one thing you said, that the Sligo alignment would include the possibility of tunneling along that.
That's correct. We will evaluate that as an option.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Well, I had a question about that.
Commissioner Wallace?
About the tunneling.
And
because
Mr. Robinson.
Is Exhibit B an exact characterization of what you all are planning to study? Because on Exhibit B,
I don't have
you don't have it. I'm sorry.
Can we put it up on the screen?
Yeah.
Alex, give him a copy of your staff report.
It's a map. It's not. Doesn't.
I'm sure we gave him one, but
yes, I don't
there
have
it
with me.
Right, we've all got our own paper.
Oh, okay.
Understandable.
Yeah, it would be easier to work if you had the same copy I have in C. And I thought you had it. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have. According to the key, the tunnel section, the only one that I see just looking at it is from Piney Branch to 193.
No, we are looking at a tunnel option all the way along Sligo. We also have determined that it would be worthwhile to look at a tunnel from Wayne over towards Piney Branch and possibly towards University Boulevard.
So when you say all the way over to Sligo, are you saying all the way over to the metro or where Sligo starts there from?
It would go under Georgia Avenue and then into the Silver Spring Transit Center.
So is it safe to say that if we endorse your staff report today, that we're not precluding the possibility of tunneling anywhere, but that's a decision that would be made later?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, that is something, yes, that I would like to understand from Mr. Madden about the tunneling, because what the chairman just asked is a broader question, which is, are you open to tunneling, you know, throughout the system as you take a look at it, or are you limiting where you will consider tunneling?
Our focus is to evaluate at-grade alternatives where that is feasible. But there are areas where, because of the constrained right-of-way or because of impacts, where we would need to look at tunneling segments.
But are you saying not all of those have been identified yet, or have they all been?
I believe most of them have been, but that does not preclude us in adding some sections for tunneling or maybe aerial.
Well, I would like, maybe staff, do you have copies of all the areas where tunneling has been considered? Do you know?
Well, at this stage, we may not have every possible option for tunneling. However, that's always been an open issue that we would look at the whole range, surface, aerial, or tunneling.
And so this is just determining the routes that will be studied, but not the method.
Exactly.
That's correct, yes.
We're simply saying that whatever is done in that alignment, let's at least look at those two alignments.
Is that true for the whole segment all the way to Bethesda? From Bethesda to Silver Spring?
When you say tunnel, does that include cut and cover, or you mean a genuine tunnel? Because there's a difference.
It could include either.
But he meant it by tunneling, but first I was just going to use tunneling the way it was used in the map, and then go from there. So have you included tunneling between Bethesda and Silver Spring?
Not around the master plan alignment.
But I guess, have you included any cut and cover?
There would be cut and cover under Jones Mill Road as part of our evaluation.
But not along the master plan the right away.
Well, that is
the master plan.
I mean, that is part of it.
Oh,
I was
mistaken.
There
okay.
is part of it, yeah. Yes.
But this doesn't show on the map.
No.
So how are we supposed to know that? I mean, how would we know where you're considering tunneling and where you aren't?
We can either provide you with a briefing or you,
I interpreted the hatched area on Exhibit B as showing the section that couldn't possibly be at grade.
That's
it has
exactly
to be underground.
It has to be underground. Everywhere else, it could technically,
right,
as a matter of engineering, it could be at grade, but you might choose to tunnel it or cut and cover it in order to avoid some community
or
impacts.
We might consider aerial. You're right. The hash mark actually goes through a large residential area, and the only way
that would
to be tunnel.
A true tunnel.
Yes.
Okay, I think that next thing I have one about is what is the funding situation?
The funding situation is we have funds to complete the project planning process. That includes the alternatives analysis and draft environmental impact statement, and it includes the next phase, which would continue from spring of 2006 to roughly spring of 2007, and that is preliminary engineering and the final environmental impact statement.
Is that all the way to New Carrollton or just for the segment we're looking at?
That's all the way from Bethesda to New Carrollton.
So you're planning to appear before us at other times as continue along the route?
Yes, certainly. Yes.
But are you working all along and you're just presenting us this part right now? But is it all continue? Are you doing it all at the same time or are you doing it in segments?
We're doing it all at the same time.
Okay, I have a few other questions, but not right now.
Commissioner Robinson.
First, I just want to make sure that I heard some things correctly. I gather you've eliminated East-West Highway between Bethesda and Silver Spring as a route for this type of improved transit system.
As far as a build alternative, yes.
Yes. Now, if you do TSM only, then, of course, that would be one
right
of the natural routes you would include. Okay.
Right. And that's mainly because of travel time, constrained right-of-way, potential impacts, a number of factors.
So it's not a BRT corridor? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes, it's not.
No longer.
Yeah, it's out. So we have...
It's shown as one.
So the ones...
This is not my map.
Okay.
So the two studies, the routes that will be going forward are basically Silver Spring... then down the master plan right away across the park, and then there's two alternatives, Jones Bridge Road or Georgetown Branch Transitway and the trail, and either a bus or a rail option.
Jones Bridge Road, we're just evaluating as
a bus only.
Bus rapid transit, yes.
Fair enough. All right, one thing I would like to have my colleagues clarify, I think that our staff has pretty much rejected tunneling as feasible under Sligo Avenue as well. That's the way the report reads, and I would want it, or appeared to read, and I want just to make sure that you didn't intend to preclude that.
We did not rule it out, no.
Okay, thank you. Then I must have misread the report. Thank you.
I have a question about community input. We heard from a lot of residents of Sligo Avenue, and we understand their position very clearly. I was a little surprised we didn't hear from anyone on Wayne Avenue. Have we reached out to that community, and do we know anything about what their thoughts are?
We've heard very little from the residents on Wayne Avenue, and we would like to. We did send out, as I mentioned, over 100 letters to the civic associations along the alignments, and really did want to hear from them. So I hope that we do, and we'll have to step up our efforts.
And when did you say where did you say the community meetings that you're hosting are going to be?
They start November the 8th in Langley Park. The other dates have not been determined yet.
Okay.
But they will be that week of November 8th and the next week. And we will have meetings in Silver Spring and Bethesda also.
Okay, thank you.
So did you agree with the staff's characterization of the difficulties of these two different routes, especially those along Sligo?
Yes.
The grade problems?
From what we can tell, too. Wayne Avenue has some grade problems also.
The narrowness of the right-of-way?
Well, it's a longer right-of-way.
Let's go back to Sligo. Was it 70 feet?
Yes, it is a more constrained right-of-way.
And you'd have a two-way street and a...
Well, we would operate in a pair for the BRT and light rail on that.
I'm sorry, what do you mean by a pair?
In other words, a single track and another single track could follow another route.
So you might have a single track on Sligo and a single track on Silver Spring Avenue.
More likely a single track on Sligo and a single track on Wayne.
So they'd be different directions, basically.
Yes, that's something we will look at.
Has that been done before? I'm not familiar with that kind of light rail construction.
It has been done before, yes.
Have you all done it? Has it been done here in Maryland?
Not that I know of.
So then you had impacts in two areas.
That's right.
Both Wayne and Sligo.
But there would be less impacts.
Well, they'd each have a train going through it, but they wouldn't have.
I mean, the real defect I see in that approach is that it makes the system less easy for people to use. I mean, you've got to know not just which direction you're going, but which street you have to get to go in that direction.
That's right. There are downsides to that. Yes.
You'd have different stops at different.
Yes.
See, if I could, then for final clarification here, you and the staff agreed that you're going from Silver Spring, basically, to Piney Branch and Flower. The issue is the route, which route to choose and how to get there. Or are you still, at least hypothetically, considering going directly under where the dotted yellow line is shown from Sligo Avenue?
We will option
from Piney Branch to New Hampshire.
We will continue to evaluate that option.
All right. Thank you.
Now, you said you're evaluating the TSM option, which is really just improvements in bus service.
Yes, we are that's part of our process.
We had some testimony on that, but also I think something I brought up in other sessions on this. Why does this have to be on the same track as the whole light rail system? Why can't you just try and improve bus service and see what happens? I mean, what are the constraints?
That's the alternative that I am referring to as the TSM alternative.
Well, no, I understand that, but, you know, one thing, I understand you can't just build a two-way train through a already built-up area. That's a very complicated project, takes years, engineering, all that. But the buses, you could just start running some more buses and see what happens. You could save yourself all that time, all that studying and engineering and, how are you going to deal with the steep slopes and all, and find out if that works first. And if it works, you've got a slam dunk. Why can't you do that on a different timetable?
It will be that alternative would have to be compared to build alternative. Does not have the same benefits associated with it. Travel time,
right.
Reduced travel time is one of the main objectives of the project.
I think the short answer to the commissioner's question is that federal law requires it because you have to have a no-build alternative in your study.
That's a different alternative.
Yes, that's right. The no-build
law. No, no-build is not doing anything at all.
That's right.
TSM is adding more buses.
Buses simply being added into existing travel lanes, which means they have to deal with all the existing congestion.
Well, yes, but
so they're not necessarily. You can get more capacity, but you may not get any more speed.
Well, I don't know. It's an, I don't know what you mean when you say improvements in bus service. Improvements in bus service. It could be, you know, the thing where the bus can make the lights change, even though you're still in the same right-of-way as cars.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Things like priority treatment could be considered part of that alternative.
Right. So why can't we got these people at 5 a.m. waiting for buses in the morning? Why can't we start doing some of that now? And, you know, you could just be expediting that part of the so-called study and get that going now and see what happens. Is that possible?
That's not the way the process works.
So you will just evaluate it in the abstract. Is that it? And it'll just be like in this chart, you'll have your no bill and then you'll have your TSM, but you'll never actually run a few more buses and see what happens.
We will develop that alternative, and then it will be compared to the other alternatives.
We
won't actually run that. That's correct.
You won't run more buses to see. Well, I wish you would consider that, because I think, you know, first of all, there's a need for it, whatever happens. I'm not saying there's not a need for the Purple Line or the Bi-County. I have supported the transit line, and everybody does, but there's an immediate need, and it just seems sensible to try that before we go through what we're about to go through.
Well, when we develop that alternative, we do coordinate with the counties, and we take their input in terms of what types of improvements you foresee in the future, what type of improvements may help. That's all part of that TSM alternative.
Well, but that's, okay. You understand my point. It's something very easy to evaluate because you know you've got the amount of people waiting to take the bus. You know how many more buses would make it people be able to move more quickly. I mean, it's not very complicated.
That's right, but we don't know how that compares to the build alternatives.
Okay, more questions?
Oh, not a question, just an observation. Mr. Sander, is it? Yeah, Harry Sanders. He made a comment about the L.A. transit situation that's developing out there. And by coincidence, this is concerning notification, et cetera. And I think he was speaking about the idea of making the community aware and use that as an example. And by coincidence, I just happen to know the engineering firm who is doing that work out there. And quite frankly, if I recall correctly, a part of the model that they're using is, in fact, based upon what we're doing here. Just for your information, that's an observation. But also, in terms of listening to the concerns that were being expressed, especially by the people on Sligo Avenue, I was wondering to what extent as part of your future presentations, you will have information about similar systems in Denver, Chicago, Baltimore, Philadelphia that, in fact, employ this kind of line, this light rail line, going through neighborhoods and through communities, and what the impact may have been from the standpoint of destroying the community and the neighborhoods, as some people are claiming, versus what some people also believe help to bring about further development of the neighborhood and the community. And by development, I don't mean reference to what some people call greedy developers. I'm talking about the construction and the development of the infrastructure and further building of a neighborhood in terms of services, et cetera. Revitalization. Yes, that's the key word. Revitalization of the community as opposed to destroying the community.
We work very closely with our consultants who have experience throughout the country and throughout the world in terms of evaluating different measures aimed at providing good transit service while minimizing the impacts. And those are those examples are things we consider. Those sometimes are things that we present at public meetings, what's been done in other places.
Yeah. Okay.
I just had one or two more questions, and that's about the funding. We had testimony that, you know, there are a lot of corporations that are interested in the Purple Line, or I still call it the Purple Line, I'm sorry. being built. And I guess you know, as a transportation expert, about what's going on in Virginia with public-private partnerships where corporations are getting together with the public sector to build first-class metro-style transit systems, especially in Tysons Corner and looking at the Dulles, along the Dulles Tollway. And because of the high expense, they're segmenting it. Have you been following that?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you all explored the possibility of looking to form some sort of private-public partnerships with major interested and affected corporations so that you could get a first-class system instead of this kind of piecemeal second-class? Well, it's just, you know, it looks like it could be very...
Class.
Well, certainly we don't have Amtrak one place and all, but we've got a lot of problems. We've got the problems with the CSX right away. We've got looping around the CBD. We've got the problems with the Capitol Crescent Trail. This isn't a no-brainer, let's put it that way. This has not been, this is easy. Have you explored something where you could then spend a little more money to get a better engineered system, more tunneling, more cut and cover?
First of all, I would say that we're not intending to design a second-class transit system. We are intending to design a first-class transit system. Part of the draft environmental impact statement document addresses a financial plan, and as part of that section of the document, we will evaluate potential funding sources, including the private sector.
Well, what I heard from the testimony, both the chamber, Silver Spring Chamber, one of the businesses that's affected, the citizens along the Sligo Road right away, everyone's support was very conditioned on, the quality of the system and the way it was going to be engineered and work. There were a lot of reservations from virtually everybody that so far, what they've seen presents some really serious problems. Did you hear that in the testimony?
Yes, I heard testimony in terms of concerns about potential impacts as a result of the project. Is that what you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, right. And the yes. concern is that, without adequate funding and the ability to... I mean, some of these things really are talking... It's about tunneling because the above-ground routes require you to take these circuitous routes and go north and then go south and then go around. And there isn't really a good way to go through something as dense as a CBD. And so... That's why I raised the question.
There are many examples of where light rail and BRT systems are integrated, well integrated into the CBD or community without going way out of the way, still providing good travel time, convenient access and mobility, and that's our objective, to design a system that does that.
All right. We have recommended comments, and I guess the question is whether the board wants to change them or modify them in any way or add something.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
so let's focus on that.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
Mr. Robinson, go right ahead.
First of all, as a matter of, despair or humor, from what I've heard, I hope Mr. Ed Ashler can hold on to his wallet because the business community might be asked to make a contribution by both of the communities involved here, among others. But I would make a motion to adopt the staff report with some clarifications. I think it would be helpful if the staff report somewhat more clearly delineated the options that the state is still considering, which this board has previously rejected, which include the Jones Bridge, primarily the Jones Bridge option, road option. And secondly, I'd like greater clarification in the staff report that we were not rejecting tunneling under the Sligo Avenue portion of the right-of-ways that are under study.
I think I understand your recommendation, and I'm going to second it, but just to make sure I'm correct, I think you're suggesting that when it comes to the tunneling issue in particular,
yes,
that as the staff said, no, they're not rejecting it, that the report should reflect that they're not rejecting
it. Yes. In fact, I would make it more positive that we think that that's something that clearly should be